This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point.
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus. Plus minus, plus
minus. Welcome to Warriors plus minus. We got a lot to talk about, including things that didn't happen, which kind of dominates Warriors talk for the last 2 years. But before we get to that, TK, I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you know about that you want to tell us about?
Yeah. Before? I've been hiding. Grand conspiracy.
Is there anything you're sitting on that, you know?
I can't think of anything. Maybe there's a few things I should have been saying. No, I don't. Maybe not.
If in 12 days something go down and you knew about it.
Oh, man. It's coming down. It's coming down. Oh, be ready. Let's just put it this way. If there's anything secret out there that other people didn't know and somebody on this podcast knew, it wouldn't be me. It wouldn't be me.
It would be. That's funny.
By the way, Nick Friedell will join us a little bit later. He's got something else he's doing. But right now, it's OGs, me and Marcus. Me and Marcus.
So let's get into the Steph Curry conversation, which is on the docket. I was with him in Little Rock.
You actually spoke to him. You spoke to Steph Curry. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to project. We don't have to make things up.
So we don't have to take speculation and treat it like it's actual reporting.
Yes.
And you know, yeah, I got it. you know, I was surprised at Steph's resolve, and I don't know why I was surprised, but I was surprised. He seemed to be clearly understanding of the circumstance. Like, it wasn't this person who's like just completely frustrated that they keep missing out. It seems like he seemed to be very understanding of where they are and what's on the table. And he definitely thought they had a shot at LeBron. He definitely wanted LeBron.
He called LeBron.
Yeah, but not getting LeBron didn't produce the level of frustration that I kind of anticipated. He just seemed to know, like, listen, when Jimmy got hurt and then when Moses got hurt, like, we were in for a rough road, period. Like, that's just what it was. And I think he settled his mind on that. And the LeBron flirtation, or either it didn't cause him to drift from that, or he was able to get right back to center on where he was. That, hey, we just got to wait for Jimmy. We got to hope Jimmy comes back healthy. We got to hope Moody comes back healthy. And somehow, like, he's still part of the belief that if they're healthy, come the playoffs, they would be a dangerous team. And that's basically what it is. Now, getting to Jimmy being healthy, it's very clear he understands how hard that's going to be and how that's basically on him. Like, that's the part. But I think in order for him to do what needs to be done, he can't go into the mentality that everybody else is, right? He has to say, we can do this, in order for him to do it, because he's got to do it. So I think this is we're seeing why this 38-year-old man is still one of the best in the league, because he can control his mind and how he thinks about it. So he's like, all right, we didn't get LeBron. We didn't get AD. Once again, we're out of the mix. And in order for us to stay in the mix, I got to be great. I got to get us to Jimmy's return. And in order for him to do that, he's got to lock in with positivity and optimism and, like, just dealing with the reality as it is. Like he said, we are not in an alternate universe. This is our universe, right? We're waiting for two injured guys to come back. And I guess I kind of expected a little bit more disappointment and a little bit more exhaustion from these, like, this multiplicity of being in on these big deals, and they're not happening. And this summer was at least two, or really three if you count AD, LeBron, and Giannis. You know, that's three massive moves. Four if you count Jalen Brown, if you ever thought, like, hey,
count Kawhi's five.
Yeah, so it's like, I guess I expected more. It'll be like, man, we really can't get anything. But it's surprisingly, he just wasn't there. He wasn't where the Warriors fans are, for sure.
Yes, yeah, so I read that in your column, and it really registered with me. It's like I keep saying, it is nobody. I mean, he's just not as panicked over his own career as Warriors fans are panicked over his career. And that's because he's a secure human being. It's because he's got four championships. That's part of it. I know Warriors fans don't want to hear that, but he does have four championships, two MVPs. He likes the guys running this team. You know, has everything gone right? No, it hasn't. And he's not somebody who's looking around all the time. And I think I've said this too, like, the reason why the Warriors fans love Steph is because he's not like LeBron. He's not changing teams. He's not trying to destabilize things and find his exit plan or get rid of this coach and get rid of that general manager. He doesn't do that. Could it help him at some point? Yeah, I mean, I think you're certainly suggesting that, right? He could go, I ain't signing an extension until you get
me. Yeah, he could, somebody. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or, don't think I'm cool with it. Don't think I'm like, hey, passively back here, like, do whatever you want. And that's to me where the extension come in. But there is a middle, right? There's rage, panic, and then there's apathy, and he's in the middle.
And he's also, tell me what you're going to do. Like, let's see.
I think that's the big part.
Tell me what we just missed on, why we just missed on it, what else is out there.
What are the options?
Yeah. What are the options? Obviously, they still have those picks, and I outraged millions by giving the either or. The Warriors would trade the picks for something they really like, but they also want a future with these players who are going to be playing past Steph's career. Aggregate me again if you want to. I can't keep saying it. I'm just going to get aggregated all the time. Whatever. They want both things. No. It's not enough. We know that, right? They don't have enough. They wouldn't have enough with LeBron either, by the way, like, which is why they didn't get LeBron.
It's the literal reason why they didn't get LeBron.
The Sixers got Jaylen Brown, and the Warriors are going, we got injured Jimmy Butler here. Just wait till Jimmy's back. This is the reality of things. I get people can be frustrated about it. They can be mad about it. Steph certainly can be frustrated about it. I just don't know what the other thing was. They were not going to be able to get Jaylen Brown because Jimmy Butler's hurt. The Celtics wanted a player who could play. Paul George can't play. Now he's old, whatever, but he can't play. They weren't going to get Giannis. Obviously, they just didn't have enough to put in there. They don't have enough for this. Like, you can, again, that's because of past other things they've done, but they don't. What do they do? What's available in the future? How much do they press in? They're not going to do it right now. People are going to go crazy over this, but you're going to hear a lot about Yaxel Lindenberg. They're going to think of him as a, you know, he's a main rotation guy right away. Like, he is.
I told you he's going to be starting.
He really is now. and you could see it. Like, this guy can step into a lineup now. Again, I think the top end is going to be limited with him. I just don't think he was very dynamic. Maybe that's because he's played a season, you know, and he's coming off an injury, all those things. I get it. He's 24, not very dynamic. I mean, that's just going to be part of it, but he can shoot the ball. He's got great court vision. He's savvy. He speaks. I think all these things you can go.
He's big.
He's wide. This guy's going to play, and I just get ready to hear a lot about Axel Lindenberg. Lindenberg is going to be somebody that they're going to be counting on this season as a plus, as an elevator. How much it really elevates them, I don't know, but it's certainly at a position.
It will hurt if he's not. If he's on the end of the bench, it's going to hurt. I got a question for you, considering just this road. You know, to me, I feel like every situation, the Warriors always have an explanation for why they didn't get the guy, right? And when you look at just that situation, like, it's a reasonable answer, whether you like it or not. It's like, okay, I get it, right? In this situation, you know, people think the world is clamoring for $57 million expiring contract. Well, not in the second April universe. No. Like you don't want to just have $57 million of people not playing on the books, right? So, and what happens if he sits out the whole year because he don't want to be there, right? Like this is it's a real thing that you might not want Jimmy in return at $57 million. That's a massive. It's such a massive number. It's hamstringing the Warriors. Like that's how you know how massive of a number is. They can't do anything else because they got this number on the books. So, but when you look at it totality, like it's a lot of misses, right? It's a lot. I mean, going back to Lauri Markkanen, right? Like it's just a lot. In that vein, knowing that history, do you just say, all right, what does it take to get a guy like a Trey Murphy? What does it take to get, you know, one of the pieces from, you know, Atlanta or a place that's got these crowded spots where you get a good player where normally he's one first round pick, but maybe now it's two or maybe it's three. Like, do you do that or do you just say, do you take their philosophy of we'll just wait for Jimmy and Moses?
You know, I hate to say you go in the middle of that, but it might be going. I wouldn't give up three for Trey Murphy, but I might give up two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree with that.
At the right age, like he's, you know, he's the right age. He's 26. He's the right position. He's the right skill set. I don't think he's a star.
Is it harder for you because you could have drafted him at first? That makes the decision.
We could
harder?
Go through a lot of players that they could have drafted.
But like, hey, here's a guy we passed up twice.
Do I
want to pay more for him?
You can't get stuck on that part. But I don't think he's necessarily an all-star. You know, you're talking about. I mean, but neither was Desmond Bain, and. Like it's all possible. I don't know. I mean, do they even have the salary construct to be able to do that at this point? Because Jimmy's too much and Moses isn't enough. I guess you could go Draymond. Moses plus Pods or Draymond. Yeah, Draymond you could go. You could go Porzingis. But it's – yeah, that's the one. I mean, that's the problem here is when you think, okay, what's the next thing? Where's the next market? Who is it? I mean – Peyton Watson. I mean, you know, I mean,
I actually think, you know, I'm a toot this horn, but to me, the bigger misses was the guys like Aaron Wiggins, like Isaiah Joe. I mean, like, and they go for 2 second round picks. It's like, do you trade your first to get 2 seconds to get, or do you give a first for a guy like that? It's a lot, but. At some point, you go have to take a moderate risk.
Yeah, I do think there were some salary problems with that because Oklahoma City just didn't want any salary coming back.
Yeah, correct.
And the Warriors can't just take guys, you know, just take them. But yeah, those two players, if you put them on this team, they're not starters, but they're really solid players. You know me, I'm an Isaiah Joe guy.
I love me some Isaiah Joe. I think Aaron Wiggins would start on this team. I think he would.
I would agree. Like he and Lindenberg could be your battling for a starting position, and that's what you want. You don't want to just hand it to guys. Absolutely. And are there players out there who are like that still? Maybe, you know, as teams are squeezing into this cap, don't the Sixers have like 17 guaranteed contracts right now? I mean, like, you know, it's not going to be their best guys, but they're going to have to offload some. I don't know if the Warriors can be in that. I know they're going to have to do stuff. They are missing players, right? They are absolutely not have a full roster. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I was told right when LeBron signed is they don't have deals lined up. Like this is not like bang, bang, bang. And they can't announce Melton yet because they don't know what exception he's going into because it affects the hard cap either way. And Draymond's number is going to be determined by everything else they do. It wasn't just a LeBron thing. It was, what else can you do? So they're on hold. I can't tell you who the names are, but I don't know who the next great thing is. Like, who? Give me a player who's worth even two first-round picks that might come available.
I mean, like you said, I'd probably overpay a bit for a guy who shoots career 40% and is a great athlete.
Yep.
So I'd probably do that. Outside of that, it gets pretty tough. Like, I'd more look for the guys where a first round pick is an overpay.
Yep.
Instead of the guy for a second round pick. I mean, the cost would be controlled. But you know, I love those type of guys, especially in this situation. Like, I love a Kobe White. Kobe got like 26 million. Like, okay, you're paying Porzingis 20, right? Like, you're paying Porzingis 20 million for I don't know how many games you're getting. Like, so 26 million is not that much for a guy who's going to play every day and get you. So,
how about DeSumo? You know, I mean,
Io's great. I mean,
those kind of guys. That's what we're talking
19,
about.
20. Yeah. Like, I mean, they got another guy on their team. I don't know if Minnesota is willing to give up, but Terrence Shannon Jr., right? Like, a, you know, get to the bucket, lefty, strong driver. Like, to me, that's the more realistic answer, is going to get some of these guys who, you know, are not sexy. They're not going to move the needle, but they could play. They could feel a need. I think Yaxel does some of that. More than what I thought he was when he drafted him.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be thinking about that. Like, what's up with Carter Bryant, right? Like, The Knicks are, you know, the Knicks owners over here talking about, we're not going into the second apron. Like, just start looking at rosters. Like, who's the eighth guy
Hook who Porty, might be your sixth guy? Go get Hook Porty or whatever that guy is. Yeah, there's going to be guys, right? There's going to be roster squeezes. There's going to be guys that teams, like a $6 million guy that the teams need off. And the problem is the Warriors just can't take $6 million and give nothing back. It has to be Moody, right? That's why I put it out there. You were out there. I don't know if Moody talked about that, but like, it's going to be that contract, or it's going to be Pods, or it's going to be, you know, I don't think they intend to trade Porzingis, but it could be Porzingis because the guarantee is so low. And it was signed with the express availability of him to be traded, which these contracts usually aren't. I mean, it's not a lot. It's sure not a lot. And it does feel like a bit of a stuck thing. I guess I shouldn't ever be surprised by the reaction, but I didn't think not getting LeBron was the total sign that it's all over. Like, getting LeBron's like a signal, like, this got 1 year. Like, that's what we got. We got 1 year. That's what getting LeBron is. Maybe two. But it's been happening for a while now. Like, this is the Jimmy Butler injury. The Jimmy Butler trade was their magic trick.
That was their big move. Yeah.
And the Jimmy Butler injury was their, oh, crap, it's not going to happen, maybe. You know, I guess we're covering it every day. So the jolts up and down, we experience much more on site, and we report on site, and we don't go like 3 weeks later, now this is the moment. But I get it. I mean, I understand it. This is a big deal. Steph's a big deal. All this is a big deal. Now, if he doesn't sign that contract extension, Marcus, when it's all
divorced, he doesn't,
then let's start talking like that. It's all else. Like, the door is open. Would you expect there to be a delay on this?
I think he's going to – I don't – like, he could have been signed it, right? He could have already
signed it. No, it's August. It's not eligible to August. I mean – yeah. He could have just said, I'm doing it.
Yeah, so I'm saying he could have just been like, yeah, I'm signing an extension. I'm being here. Mm-hmm. So I think he takes some time with it, right? And he did last time too. And then last time he only signed the 1 year extension instead of taking the two that was available to him. Because he can cap out at 3 years, right? At 38 and up.
Total
under 3 years. Yeah. 3 years. So, but if he doesn't, this is different because if he doesn't sign it, he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yes.
And that's what makes it like real gun to the head time. I don't think he won't sign it. I think he will sign it. I think he's committed to staying with the Warriors through the end of his career. But I think he knows there's still a part of him that have to say, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to listen.
Like, yeah. Hey, I still need to know what's going on. You still need to make me feel like we're trying to do this, because I don't think he will leave. But I think there's a part of him that would consider it now more than he ever would have. I think he'd hate to leave, but I think they could push him out. You know, like if they just said now, like, you know what, we're done.
Yeah,
we're just gonna put a bunch of guys. He would hate to do it, but at that point, he'd probably do it. So I think he is up signing, but I do think there's gonna be some conversations before he signs, and I think that's gonna matter to him. But like with Steph, this is the thing that Mike Dunleavy has done really well, especially with players like Steph and Draymond. He's telling them what's happening.
Yep.
Like they're not this, like they're not being blindsided by this stuff. Like they know what's real, like from the Warriors' perspective, and what's not. So, like when we're like, my first thought is when I saw Jaylen Brown, I was like, man, how can they not get Jaylen Brown? Mm. That looked like a very gettable package. Like, but Steph knows, you know, what the Warriors actually did try to do and didn't try to do. Like, he knows when they got rebuffed or when they didn't, or when they tried. Like, he knows all that. And whatever he knows, it's not making him say, hey, Marcus, I got a trade demand for you.
Yeah, he's coming up. Hey, if you want to go ahead and write that.
Yeah.
Now, unless Marcus is hiding it from everybody and you're covering it up, that's very possible. 14 days, we'll hear about it.
I've been trying to get this out of him for 3 years. No way, I'm waiting.
That's the other thing.
Hey, yeah, man, like, ready?
We're not exactly sit on stories kind of people.
The crazy part is I don't know what people the idea that everybody is sitting.
Yeah.
For access, like not everybody is getting access. That's the other. Like if you, TK, were sitting because you want access to Shanahan, that would be understandable. But like every person who covers the 49ers is not getting access. So why would you telling me Grant Cohn is sitting on this for access?
No.
Like, that's why that means the fact that nobody got it means they did a really good job of making sure nobody got it.
No,
because there's people who would have hopped on it, including you, by the way. But
yes, if I'd known it was a car crash, it's a whole different. I mean, anyway, it's a different discussion. I understand that people are interested in it, and I'm kind of over it now. Like I wasn't real thrilled to be dragged into it yesterday, but it's okay. Like
caught up today, so it's kind of fresh to me.
Yeah, it's being aggressive about the way things happen. I get it. I don't dispute that. I'm just saying, just don't put me into this hiding and complying. I'll say it again. I heard about it Thursday. I knew for sure on Friday when they put out the press release that he wasn't going to, you know, it wasn't his name on the press release for Saturday's presser. I knew then that he probably wasn't going to be at Sunday's first practice. That's what I knew. And certainly intimations of health. But I didn't know it was his health, anybody else's health, whatever. But can come down. And since Ethan kind of wrote about this a little bit, guess what happened on Friday when I might have been trying to chase something?
LeBron.
LeBron James announced at 9 a.m. So I don't want to make that an excuse, but I don't just cover the 49ers. But
it's different than just being a 49ers reporter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't just cover the 49ers. Like, there was a column I had to write about the Warriors not getting LeBron James. So, anyway, okay, this will get aggregated. I don't really want to get too far, but you're interested in
LeBron
it.
LeBron James is the reason why he didn't.
It is not. It is not.
He
it
didn't
is,
reveal what, the yeah, it, Kyle Shanahan crash.
I've been as.
It doesn't matter that it's not. This
I've
is matter
been as transparent
real.
As I possibly can. I didn't put that element in there just because it sounds like an excuse. But since Ethan did bring up that I don't just cover the 49ers, I do a lot of other things. It's a reality. It's absolutely reality. And, you know, Florio is going to grab this and put this out there. I'm just saying, it's just. He mentioned it. I'm going to just add that is part of the mental equation.
It's part of the calculus of people who cover multiple sports.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You just don't have the luxury to hone in on one thing, like without that being a discussion. Like now, who does the four? You know, who does this and who does that? Like you are part of a team, and like that. That's like I would like when you were my boss, I had to be like, hey man, should I lock in on this and focus on this? Am I clear? Or do you got to do other? That's just the nature of covering multiple sports, which
it is. And and prolong things, right? The LeBron thing was a prolonged thing that, like, you had to pay attention to it. Your eye was on the ball in it the whole time. The Warriors had two of those. The Kerr thing was unbelievably prolonged. And you're like, that is eating up a lot of resources in the brain cells.
If I was focusing on the Niners, I would have had all the details.
I think you did know. I think you did know, and I think you held back, and I think you know more stuff that you're
holding back.
People should Warriors plus minus is going to get aggregated by Mike Florio. How about that?
I was on track and field duty. I'm sorry. My fault.
Through this aggregation and aggravation and all this fun stuff. Hey, Friedel, we're getting aggregated by Pro Football Talk. We're pretty sure.
Hey, man, I
said some hot stuff out there.
Hey, Friedel, I said all kind of stuff that I hope they say you said.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's go call Poly Market and get it rolling again.
That's still the greatest. Oh my God, it's still the greatest. No, Marcus, you're getting aggregated for some of that Steph stuff. You definitely are. You definitely are.
I know that when I let I got back home Sunday, it was like, what is happening? I don't understand. It's funny though. It's clear, you know, it's one thing that's, we're talking about it. All right. Yeah. You want to ask me about it? Sure. I have thoughts. I have opinions. Here's what I think. But to me, when the person talks, that kind of goes away. One was, again, you know, me pontificating, and the other is like, okay, well, here's what he said. So I'd like to provide what he said. But hey, that's the way it went. TK, I do want to ask you before we get to Nick, and Nick, you could jump in on this too. The part I was thinking that Steph would be a little bit more bothered by was just the repeated misses at these big swings, right? How do you think Joe is taking it?
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean,
he feel like he would be bothered more than anybody. He's
the,
right?
That's kind of the misunderstanding of all this. Lacob's the one trying to get all these guys. They haven't gotten them except for Butler. I always point out that one. It wasn't that long ago, but he's out there trying to do these deals. I think there's frustration probably, but I also think there's like, We're gonna get somebody. I couldn't tell you who that is, and I don't think he could tell you who that is. I know there was big frustration at the trade deadline about Kawhi. Like, they thought they were getting Kawhi. Was that going to be a good trade or not? I don't know, but it was going to be first round picks. It was going to be Draymond. It was whatever. It's going to be all that stuff. It didn't happen. So I think he's kind of in on the next, right? You know, what's those VCs on to the next deal? On to the next deal? On to the next deal?
That's Joe.
That's kind of where he's at. I also think, you know, they think Jimmy's good, right? That's a incredibly unspoken thing among the fan bases. Like, but the front office is like, Dunleavy said it right at his presser on May 15th. We don't think we got to make a lot of changes. We like the team now. You know, whatever
they really believe it.
They do believe it, and they're going with it. They brought back Horford and Porzingis, and brought back Melton, and drafted Jaxel Lindberg. They're going to go with this. We'll see. I mean, I don't know that you can, you know, again, it won't be just
It sounds good, TK. It's a great plan. I just want to see, how do you get them healthy in May?
Yeah. That's all. Nick Friedel, where is this all leading them?
What I'm curious, guys, as we're talking about Jimmy, is what happens a summer from right now? Because in theory, Jimmy has come back. You've got Steph and whatever happens with that extension. We've got Draymond, and we're waiting to see what happens with that extension. What kind of money is Jimmy looking for next year right now, coming off having, in theory, returned from an ACL injury? Because I think that sets up a whole lot of whatever happens in the future. But On a broader note, and I'm sure you guys got into this off the top, I'm shocked at how a portion of the fan base is responding to this. Because, and I've said this all along when we've talked since January 19th, Jimmy got hurt, and Jimmy makes about $60 million a year. Boom. That's it. That is it. I just cannot believe. I thought that the decision to give Al Horford two guaranteed years after last year was wild. But clearly, they thought that in order to make it all happen, that's what they needed to do. And if you told me that Horford could stay healthy, and to Marcus's point, getting into May, then okay. But, I mean, who says Warriors are getting to May? Two, what would make you think, given what we saw last year, that Horford could stay healthy at all? I mean, he's just old. But aside from that, when you look at the moves they made and they get Yaxel in the draft, I think that's about as good as you could do given the circumstances of Jimmy making $60 million and being away for half of next year at least, and Moses, who knows when he returns next year, and you've got 38-year-old Steph who's working on an extension of his own. So the outrage in the last few days, once this thing has gone down, to me, has been just crazy, because there's a part of the base that is like, oh, my gosh, they haven't done anything. And I'm sitting there looking at the cap situation going, okay, well, I'm not saying you have to like it, but the fervor that they didn't do much and they're not that much closer. What the hell were you expecting this summer?
I think they – well, first off, I mean, yeah, if fans have one thing, it's a right to rage, right? Like, go ahead. It's who they are. Like, they're in it. That's why the Warriors are the Warriors, right? Because fans are super passionate. I think the part that kind of nudges them, right, and really gets into the, like, where it bothers them, is that it's a former Warriors executive out here cooking. That is Bob Myers. Yeah. Like,
well, that is a good point.
Our guy who we used to have is out here like pulling rabbits out of hats for another team. I don't think that's a small part of it. I think people know the whole Bob Myers story, right? And he obviously spent a few years off, but I think that burns a little bit, that it's like, hey, hold on. Because that's what Bob does. That's what he did, right? Like the Andre Iguodala thing, that wasn't supposed to happen. Like, it didn't make sense. But this fan base is kind of conditioned to the Warriors winning these things, right? The Durant sweepstakes, they won it. Mm-hmm. Like, they got Iguodala. They went from never getting – remember TK was like, man, we're in the LeBron
discussion. They got a meeting with Dwight Howard.
Went from that to now Sean Livingston chooses you. You know what I'm saying? People start choosing you. Like, that era where Bob Myers was a GM, that was probably his greatest strength, was that, right? And so now they're looking at a franchise where maybe that's clearly not your greatest strength. Is making just something happen, like even when it doesn't look like it couldn't happen. Bob Myers always talks about how during that Andre Iguodala trade, which we all know is one of the most significant moves in the creation of the dynasty, which makes it one of the most significant moves in basketball history. At points, he was like, "We can't do this. Like, I don't know.
Very hard.
This is not going to get done." Yeah. So I think that's a part of it, that it's Bob Myers in Philly. Turn the team that just at the end of the year, we're like, bro, what is Philly going to do? Like Embiid and like they just – like really, what are they going to do? And now you look at them and they're sitting on top of the basketball world. I don't think that's nothing. So I kind of feel them on that. Like where is that Warriors excellence that's now working for the Philadelphia 76ers?
I make that point myself. Now I will also say, we're all – we all know Bob real well, and we'll chat with him, but he also is the one who drafted James Wiseman, John Kaminga, and Moses Moody, right?
That's the thing. His draft record was the problem.
Yeah, it's just like everything is all in context. I always say it's tough to draft. No one was saying all these picks were terrible when they were made. There were reasons behind all of them. And you are what you are. They won championships with Bob Myers, and these moves in May were incredibly important. They do not get Kevin Durant without him, I don't think. They clearly don't get Andre Iguodala. There's all these other things, but it's all in context. It's when Steph and Draymond were in their primes and Klay Thompson was in the prime. I think that matters too. And Jaylen Brown is in his prime, and he wanted it, and you're LeBron wanted to join that. He doesn't want to join necessarily Steph at 38 and Draymond on 36. I mean, get it.
Kind of wanted to join Steph.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, if Steph had younger players around him, it would be very different. He doesn't. So I just like, I get it. I understand it. Just at some point you're talking about ideal situations that just are impossible to happen. Like these things. And I people will rip me for this, but guess what? Jokic has been the best player in the league for how long now? He's got one championship. He might retire with one championship. The Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown Celtics were together 7 years, 8 years, won one championship, lost one to the Warriors. Like, it doesn't always work out. It just doesn't. The Thunder might win 10 or they might win one. Like, it just, this is hard.
And Thunder might be done.
Yeah, they might.
From a dynasty, I mean, to like, hey,
they're looking at Wemby, like, going, what the hell's happening here? It just, no one has
Thunder's
to be
not done, for the record, for all these Thunder people are gonna
aggregate. He has Steph not signing the extension, and he has the Thunder out. It just is hard. And again, no one has to accept that. Nobody has to say, okay, fine, right? You don't say that. I understand that. But this is tough to do. And frankly, we've been talking about this for probably 3 years longer than I thought we would when Steph's been that good. That's all credit to him, and I get it. Oh, my God, you're never going to have this again. I think I've been one of the leading people saying that. You know, this will never happen again. There is no timeline but the Steph timeline. You don't blow it up because whatever comes after this is going to be worse. That's why they kept Steve Kerr around, right? That's literally why Steve Kerr is still the coach when he was ready to go. I don't know what you do, though. Like, this is part of the problem is, like, they're just – once Jimmy got hurt, as Nick has said, as Marcus has said, as I have said, the world changed for them. It was a fragile world. It was not – you could have predicted something like that could happen, but it did happen. And they're it's almost as big an injury as Clay's injuries, almost as big, which are historic, huge, incredibly important injuries. That one was almost as important because it's a shock that they couldn't get out of. You can't get out of that. Now they're going to dangle him as an expiring contract going up to the trade deadline. I don't know what they will get. I think they're going to. We'll see if he's playing or not. But I think we talked about what happens with the contract. I think they're going to look at that. And if they don't trade him, then maybe they're not signing him for 58, right? They're not doing that. But maybe a 2-year deal, you know, do a Draymond thing, a 2-year 35 and 38. I don't know if what do you think that's an insult. I don't know, but that might be about the value. But I definitely think they're going to look at trying to make it, you know, that's the expiring contract they can use. We'll see where it gets them. I don't know that it didn't get them a lot this summer. That's for sure.
I have to make an acknowledgement to my friends here, and especially in the last few days, and Marcus talked to him down in Arkansas, but I feel bad for Steph, and not that, like, he made a zillion dollars and he's incredible and he's, you know, one of the greatest players we've ever seen. I don't mean that. Like, he has.
Glad you said that, because I immediately started looking up his salary. $62,587,158.
So all of it, as TK would say, all of it is in context. Like, yeah, context. Yeah. You know, I think he has spoiled so many in the fan base so rotten that now, no matter what happens, it's gonna make the last couple years of however much longer he plays awkward.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
And people want so badly for this team to go out and win one more ring. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think it's really going to be a struggle when he takes maybe that half step back, because he was awesome. The three of us watched him every night when he did play. He's still awesome. But that knee injury is lingering, and he's 38 years old. And he has been so good for so long that I'm just, having watched what's happened this summer, but especially in the last few days here, and it's not everybody in the fan base by any stretch. And Marcus, you're spot on. Hey, I'm a Cubs fan. I want the Cubs to spend money and make all the trades. I get it. Yeah, it's part of being a fan. I'm just saying, from a realistic standpoint, when you look at the cap numbers and you look at the possibilities and you look at how important first-round picks are in this era of the league, there's only so much they can do. And the second that Steph takes that step back, I think it's going to be tough, because people have been so conditioned to, the Warriors, they'll win. And to what you guys were saying, they always found a way. Like KD, Iguodala, we have all the examples. I just think it's going to get really awkward here in the last couple of years. Not to the point that I think Steph will leave, because I have always believed, as he's told both of you the same, he wants to stay and play in one jersey. I believe that. I just think it's going to get really, really frustrating at times, because there's only so much that they can do. And as we sit here right now, I don't see a path for them to get back towards the top while Steph is still playing. And the second Steph takes that step back, as bad as you can feel for somebody who's going to be worth, you know, $1 billion, that's where I'm at right now with Steph Curry.
Yeah, billion, right? No.
With a
leaning, baby.
What's the number on that deal?
Yeah, I don't feel bad for Steph.
What's the annual value of that one?
Steph has four beautiful kids and a wife. He all right, man. Steph is good. Steph, all right. He
playing some really beautiful golf course, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Steph's fine. Steph's all right. Actually, like, he is in a sense a victim of his own success.
Yeah.
Because he makes a championship feel like a realistic goal because he's still good enough. But it is difficult to put a championship team around him. It's just hard to do that, number one, when the top guy's making $62 million. Yeah, and the second guy's making 57. Like, that's a lot of money in this second apron universe going to two players, right? So I just think, I don't know, man. I just get the frustration of, like, not doing anything. Like, I get it. Like, I think the fact that they had the Jimmy Butler injury and the Moses Moody injury, like, really hamstrung them. Like, it really left them, you know, without options or resources or whatever. Because, you know, maybe if Jimmy Butler's healthy, like, maybe LeBron signs. Maybe he's like, all right, we got a healthy Jimmy.
Or
we got a healthy Steph.
Or you can move him easily.
Or you can move him. Trade
for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Or you could trade for Jaylen Brown. I got that. But at the same time, like, the fact that they made that the injury happen probably means you can't do nothing. Right, it puts your pressure to make a hard decision. Now, again, I don't know what that decision is, but if Joe wants to pay me to be the president of basketball operations, I could find a decision. You know, I don't have all the information that they have. They got information, but it just feels like you got to make one hard decision, right? I don't know what that is, and. This season just felt like we're screwed. Like, let's just run it back. Hope.
I do think they're going to deny this, but I think the LeBron prospect, however serious it really
was, the thing. Yeah.
They were like, okay, that could be the thing. Like they, at some point, like we can't quite do the middling things if this is going to be something. Now, again, was that unrealistic? I don't think it was unrealistic.
No, I think it was realistic, man. Yeah. Like Rich Paul said, it was like, hey, this I think really they came down to two
second.
Teams.
Yeah, I finished second. And it was probably a distant second. And if all factors had changed, they might have finished second to Cleveland another way. And then another factor, they might have finished second to Miami. Like I think they were that always that team that was a possibility that wasn't always going to be the first choice. But it did. Again, and I'm sure I will be told I'm wrong on this, but this is my presumption, is that did occupy their mind enough this offseason that they weren't going to do all these other things.
Or be desperate to do the other things.
Or desperate, right? That's even better. Yeah, actually, they just – there weren't this – wait a minute, nothing's going to happen. Like, they're like, well, like, we got this LeBron thing here, and they've got Draymond, who's in clutch – saying I'll cut my salary, I'll do whatever you need to in case you need it, and whatever signal that sent. Again, I never sensed from them they thought it was happening. I did sense from them like people are telling us this is going to happen. Like they were telling
like not wanting to get too ahead of it. I felt like they thought it would happen, but they don't want to be like yeah, it's happening.
But they didn't like the Durant thing. You know, maybe they had a solid inkling that that could happen.
The second one, right?
Yeah. LeBron, that's the Durant. I think even the Durant negotiation, the initial one was like, we think we could get this guy. LeBron, they just didn't know. They didn't know what the final factor was going to be. They just didn't know. And as I've said, if the Sixers don't trade for Jaylen Brown, they might have LeBron. I don't know that, but they might. So I do think, again, that part of it, I just said that I don't understand why there's all this agony over LeBron James, that this is the time you're agonizing. But I do – I'll concede that the Warriors sort of unconsciously or consciously did build their offseason towards this point. Like they, and that's necessitated by that they had to wait for LeBron. They certainly didn't want it to go this long, but they held off on stuff. And maybe I don't know what they would have lost out on. Maybe you guys haven't. I don't know what exactly they would have bypassed.
Anthony Simons.
No, for Isaiah Joe, your guy, Isaiah Joe.
Yeah.
But if then, you know, if LeBron's not in the mix and he goes for a two second round picks, like you can't go get 2 second round picks if you don't have if you're not waiting on LeBron.
But you'd have to trade somebody because you just can't take them in the.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. whatever. I get it. But it's. They don't have plan B. Like they literally that. Like, what's your plan B? And they did not really have one. But it also was like their whole point was LeBron was a bonus. Like that wasn't our offseason. But then you look at it, it was their offseason. Because it's now I saw that chart. Like they haven't added anybody. De'Anthony Melton should be on the list, but they just haven't announced it yet. It is an ad. But you can't because they haven't signed him. Literally have not signed him yet. So, but you know, they'll count Porzingis, bringing Porzingis back. They'll count bringing Horford, you know, it's not an ad anyway, but, and they'll count, as Nick, I said at the beginning, we're going to hear a lot about Yaxel Lindeborg. They are going to talk him up for good reason. I get it. But that is like, he's like a free agent signing. It's not a rookie they're developing. Like he's a guy that guy in their minds, and they really might be right, is going to help them win right away. He's their acquisition. And some of that is speaking things into existence. And some of that is just the reality. He is going to be someone who's going to be playing a lot and maybe helping them get some wins.
He looked really good in Vegas. Marcus and I saw him, Tim. And I think the only thing that concerns me is the defense. But I agree. I think he is going to step in night one and really help. And you don't expect that a lot from a rookie, but that's why you picked him. I just, even as we're having this conversation, it's like I'm sitting here thinking, if you are a Warriors fan who's all upset right now, what you're upset about to me is Wiseman and Kuminga. I mean, we're going back, but you whiff there.
The wordy thing to be upset about, though.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
That was a massive, massive franchise-changing whiff on both. And you whiffed, and you didn't have the pieces to get Giannis, and you didn't really think about the whole Jaylen Brown thing. Although, guys, let me say right now, I wouldn't either with that contract. I mean, Bobby Marks got demolished for saying, hey, there's analytics guys who don't think he's all that. I'm here to tell you that Bobby's right. Like,
wow, Fridell going to get hammered here.
There are a lot of people that don't, as great as Jaylen Brown played and as well as he did in those last couple of years, finals MVP, I get it. There are people who believe that. So I'm kind of
I don't think the Warriors can take such a stance. Like, they're not in position to be turning down people as good as Jaylen Brown.
They
Yeah, like you run a Gee Santos out there as a starter turning your nose up at Jaylen Brown. Like, I don't I think that's a thought they probably need to loosen up a bit on. Like, hey, he isn't our type of player. Because there's some guys out there.
Let's play this out. This is good, especially in the context of what we're talking about, what's happened. If you took Jimmy off this team, let's say he was healthy, just for argument's sake, and you plug Jaylen Brown on the team, and then because TK, you said it, and I agree. I mean, if you make that move, who knows? LeBron may end up there. It's just easier. Like, there's another person ready. So you plug Jaylen Brown and LeBron on this team with Steph, and let's say the Draymond deal gets done. What are they?
They're not bad. They're not bad.
Pretty good team.
Yeah. I don't know that, again, I would say championships, a championship team. I don't know that I would say that about the Sixers, but now with those two, but it would
nobody
be very interesting.
Nobody said the Knicks were a championship team this year.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody said the Pacers were a championship team the year before that. Like, who is the championship team?
Spurs and Thunder.
That's it. We're done here.
Yeah. But at first I think the Warriors would have made that trade for Jaylen Brown, whatever the analytics said, and then, you know, possibly think, okay, then we can spin him off again, right? I mean, at some point you could.
That's the thing. There are people who think that about Jaylen Brown, but also people who think Jaylen Brown's really good, right? Philadelphia. So
including LeBron James.
But you trade him to those people. But to me, like in the Warriors context, Jaylen Brown saved Stephen Curry. Which is why LeBron is going to play for Philly, because at some point you got to not ask the 38, 39, 40-year-old to do everything. And guess who's raising their hand? Be like, I'll play all the minutes and take all the shots. Sure, have a seat for 20 games while I play. Exactly. Jaylen Brown's that guy.
You want to sit for 40 games? That's
He's averaged 20 points over like the last 6 years, you know, while shooting a pretty good percentage from the field. So, I mean, he's not a great three-point shooter, but like, yeah, he's – to me, that's what you need. Like, just the guy to say, hey, I got this. Steph, you relax. I'll see you in May. Like,
wait a minute. They got pods for that, though. That's
pods. I was going to say that. We just have not at all talked about pods. But
and he's got the extension.
Once again,
his
extension coming up. But once again, we enter this year, and we're like, hey, the big improvement is pods.
Pods.
Nick,
All-star pods.
No, I think he's gonna get better. He's just not Jaylen Brown, you know.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, some analytics people might be like,
"Yeah,
yeah. Oh, God, that's a good point."
Pods is better than Jaylen.
Oh boy,
this is gonna get aggregated as you saying the Warriors think that, and I don't know if they would agree with that. What's the Warriors starting lineup? Assuming they're going to add somebody, whatever, two people, but it won't be a starter project.
Well, we're talking about like opening night.
Opening night, but moving into the bulk of the season.
Before Jimmy's back. Pogs. I got Steph, Draymond, Yaxel.
Okay.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze. We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze. Let's love.
Pods. And
I got Chris
Porzingis. Yeah, Pods and Porzingis.
Porzingis, yeah.
Do you not have Pods, MT?
I'm torn on Pods.
You got Melton in there?
We've seen Steve. We know it. Like, I could see him start Melton.
Yeah, I mean, but do you want to put that wear and tear on him? I was surprised they brought him back just because I don't know.
I think that's where you cannot put so much wear and tear on him is by starting him. Give him that little first run and then, you know, give Pods all the second minute units and the backup first. It's going to be, I just think whoever that second team is going to be so important. It's going to be huge.
That could be a Yaxel. Certainly could be Yaxel. Can you get his points?
I wouldn't have thought that
before Summer League. I think that now he can go get your points.
I think it's, big. I think Will Richard too.
Yep.
Big second unit guy. But I think Paz is like, all right, man, I need you to show you can go get 15 to 20 points at will. So, like, second unit is his unit. Like, it's like, remember how it was like, Pod's gonna run a second unit, ended up being Jimmy, yes, and they would split it. Like, nah, that's, you have no one else now to say the second unit is yours. Right. Steph is sitting.
Well, you got Melton, you could do Melton.
I don't know. Can you, like,
can you rely on him? Yeah, I don't know if you can rely on him that much, though.
Like, could you rely on Pod's that much? I mean, just
I think so. I think if you're gonna make him grow. You make him grow in that unit. Like, don't be like, hey, Steph's on the court, blah, 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 go get 25. But a big part of that 15 to 18 they need him to get is when Steph is sitting.
Yeah.
Like, go get it. Just go ahead and get used to this role that you got. Because even when Jimmy gets back, you can't play Jimmy 35 minutes because he's got to run the second unit and play with Steph. So, like, this is big for Pods. Like, this – yeah, he's already a 30-minute guy. You're right. He probably starts and just does both. But I just don't know how effective he is at doing both. I'd rather him be like sixth man, run the second unit, be the change of pace, and he's going to get plenty of starts in Steph's place because you don't want Steph playing 70 games, right? So
yeah, but you know that they're going to have Melton and Pods be the guards on the second unit. You just rotate it that way where Steph plays the extended first quarter minutes and those guys rotate in and out.
LJ Cryer.
When he comes to LJ Cryer. I like LJ Cryer.
I do like play him. 70 games. We're all going to play Powerball.
Friedel's on that one. And can't argue. Okay. I threw out one thing. I'll just say, like, they're going to need extra players. There should be wings. We know this guy doesn't guard wings anymore, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the Dallas Mavericks. They can't really match salaries, but if he's bought out or there's some other way to get him, what do you think, one, the locker would think about Klay Thompson return, and what do you think the front office would think about a Klay Thompson return?
That's, I think everybody would be for it, but Klay.
Wow. I'd be surprised. I'm with Marcus because I think Klay could come back, but it got so kind of
– to get bad, get weird.
Down at the end. That would be a surprise now, because the other part is when you go back after the breakup, you know, you have to look and see kind of where everybody is at in the moment. And Klay is just,
which breakup you talking about?
Yeah, I've got way too many to
all the breakups. But also, like, sometimes you're like, you know what, it wasn't so bad back here. Like, you know, now I think about it, it really wasn't so bad. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's the likeliest thing to happen, but I've heard it thrown out there, and I just don't know that he fits on this Dallas team anymore. They're certainly going in a different direction.
You know where he fits?
Philadelphia?
Right.
Miami?
Next to Steph, where he always should have been in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, like this, you talk about, like, just need minutes to just go out there and shoot the ball. Klay Thompson can do that. He still can do that.
Here's the question. If he came, would he start?
No. I mean, that was the problem last time.
It was.
Yeah. I don't think so, but yeah, maybe. You know, you can give them those start first 5 minutes, the first quarter and third quarters, and see how it goes from there.
Shot,
I don't know.
He shot 38% from three.
But what position is he playing, by the way? Because he's not playing two guard anymore. So he'd be, have to be a three or four. Yeah, you could do it. You could do it. But I just think it's an interesting name. And I get everything you're saying, and I'm leaning against it myself. But there are times, like, you leave, and you're pissed off when you leave, and you start thinking, man, that wasn't that bad every day, you know? And some of these things that I experienced, there weren't, like, every other team's got them, and they're not set up like this. Who knows? I mean, I could see Miami being really interested in him. I could see some other teams but and who might be in a better spot than the Warriors, but I wouldn't cross this one out. I've heard that one enough. Like, I just wouldn't cross it out.
Boat life isn't bad, Mr. Kawakami.
That is exactly, like, where else is he going to be? Have this body of water to drive around? I'm sure he's still got his house in the East Bay. Well, we'll see. I just want to keep that open. Keep that one open. Marcus probably knows this is hiding it in the cover up.
This is what we do here, Nick Fernell. We hold up. We withhold stories. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? We wait for the press release.
I'm known for that. I'm just known for that. That's what I am, at least.
That's what
Fredell's probably got 15 or 20 of those that he's still in his back pocket, ready to.
Yeah, now that the more I think about it, the more Pod starts. I can see, I just think, to me, Pods is their best chance at upgrading. Pods and Yaxel need, and I don't think we saw it in Summer League, but Will Richard. That's another guy who, if he got better, if he got better, it's going to be better for them, right?
I'd feel better about him if he dribbled a little bit in Summer League, and he did not. You know, it's just like, that's the big difference.
I know, that's what I was waiting. Like, come back, like, bring
what I got now. No, he is not dribbling. He does not want to bring the ball up. He's just not dribbling the ball. And pretty much, if you're not going to dribble in Summer League, you're not going to dribble in the league. So, like, that's a big difference maker for him. He can do what a lot of things, but being 6'4" or whatever it is and not being able to dribble or not wanting to dribble, that really limits what you can be in the NBA. It just really limits. And we saw it. He hit the wall. Once he stopped making the threes, there wasn't a lot of reason to have him out there. And Kerr pulled him from the rotation. We saw it.
Yeah, he might not have a choice now. But I just think they still need one or two more players. They just got to find some gems. That's what they got to do. They got to find somebody who comes out of note. Like, what's the guy from Memphis who's, like, all of a sudden really good? You know, Cedric Coward. Like, where'd that guy come from? All of a sudden, he's a player. He was dominant in Summer League. They need to find one of those guys. Ryan Nembhard is only – that's my guy. Ryan Nembhard is on the Atlanta's got like 98 point guards.
Yeah, there's another team that there's going to be trimming.
Jimmy B loves those point guards, Marcus.
Yeah,
loves
Jimmy Bontemps.
Loves. Jimmy B's gonna have a tough choice, man. C.J. McCollum running point, Kingston Fleming, Devin Carter, Ryan Nembhard, you know, Ray J. Dennis. Jimmy B about to have fun out here, like. Little point guard camps.
I just
feel like if somebody sees what all these players got, a couple players who should be available. So
should be. They definitely should be. Interesting.
All right. Well, whenever they do something, we'll have the latest for you. We'll wait till they announce it. I promise. We won't be breaking any news because we don't break news here, right? No. Not. Whatever. Let me comply.
We comply. Yeah. That's what we do. We only comply.
Well, I don't know. That's just you, TK.
But,
that's what I saw on X. It was you. But whenever something goes down with Golden State, we will be here to talk about it. So until next time, for my guy Tim Kawakami, Nick Friedel, leave that 5-star review, like and subscribe, share us on social media. All of the good things, all of the good things that you can do to support Warriors Plus Minus, you should do them because we are worth it, damn it.
Usually.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.